We will be hearing as well from the ceremony yesterday, a number of them taking place today as well, out at the INEC, the Gleneagle INEC, 5,200 people being conferred with their Irish citizenship over the 2 days. It was incredibly busy out there. We'll hear a report from that and hear from some of the newly minted Irish citizens, of course. But the man who's going to be there helping confer them with their citizenship today is Minister for State, Department of Justice, Home Affairs and Migration, Niall Collins. And he's with me on the line. Minister, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning.
You're going to be taking part in the ceremony today. How important is this? And I suppose the knowledge is there as well that this is a ceremony and these are citizens who will be some of the last, I suppose, coming in under the old rules and a new system being brought in for the length of time you have to be in this country to be conferred.
Yeah, so I suppose just to set the scene, there's 2 days of citizenship ceremonies, conferrings, yesterday and today, and there's three sessions in each day. So today we have a session at 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And basically the INEC in Killarney is set up such that the people who are receiving their citizenship, they're given a particular session to turn up to. So today, for example, they'll turn up, one would be asked to turn up at the 11 a.m. session. So they'll come in, they'll pre-register, and they'll take their place in the main auditorium. And it's quite a short ceremony. It has to be presided over by a member of the judiciary and also a minister of the government. So that's why I'm attending today. And effectively, it's a kind of a short type of ceremony where the national anthem is played. There's the military band is also in attendance. There's some music played. Obviously, Aurán Levine is played. But there's a recital of an oath of fidelity and loyalty to the state, I suppose, is the centerpiece for it. And obviously, the people attending who are getting their citizenship, they also receive their certificates of naturalization when they turn up in person to register. So you have all of that going on. There'll be a big contingent of people, obviously, from the Department of Justice who'll run the whole event. And it's a very positive, uplifting event. It's a very happy event for people who have come to Ireland, who've made their life in Ireland, and who have qualified for and applied for and have been granted citizenship. So I suppose all in all, as I say, it is very, very positive, and it's great to see people on such a happy occasion. They obviously bring their family and their friends and their spouses and their children, and they make a bit of a day out of it in Kerry. And as you said, it's over 5,000 people across the 2 days, 5,200 people across the 2 days and the six ceremonies, drawn from 32 counties of Ireland and from over 130 odd countries right around the globe. So it just shows you the depth and the reach in terms of the way that Ireland is changing in terms of becoming a multicultural country, where we have had a lot of inward migration, which, you know, is very, very positive. I think it's fair to say that the vast majority of people who've come to this country have made a huge contribution to every community up and down Ireland, particularly in the workplace. We know that the health services, for example, have a huge foreign contingent within the workforce now. Particularly our tech sector also would have a huge, our pharma sector would have a big foreign employment, people coming from outside of the country. So all these people are working hard, they're contributing their taxes, they're contributing their effort, and they're helping to
and that's
to
a positive thing. But you're putting the brakes on though as a government. You're changing the rules, lengthening the time. Is that a response to concerns about the fast growth of the population and the pressure it's putting on services? Is that what
it is? It absolutely is. Look, I mean, we all know that we have capacity issues in this country. The biggest capacity challenge that government is facing is obviously housing. If you consider, Gerry, last year in 2024, almost 185,000 people came to Ireland through various different avenues. Now, if you consider at the last census, in the 2022 census, the population of Kerry was recorded at about 156,000 people. So 30,000 more people came to Ireland last year than the entire population of Kerry. And when you look at that, that's 185,000. When you break it down, there was about 30,000 of the 185 were Irish citizens returning from abroad, from wherever, Canada, the United States, Australia, all over the world. We had about 12,000 people who came in on work permits. We had another, which is a big number, 32,000 people who came to Ireland from the European Union or the United Kingdom, where we obviously have freedom of movement of people within the European Union, and we have the common travel area with the United Kingdom. The biggest number out of the 185,000 that came in last year was a number of 60,000 came in on student visas. So that's a very, very big, significant, almost a third of what came into the country last year were students. We had about 23,000 who came in what's called family reunification. We had 18,000 who came in seeking international protection.
Yeah, which is a jump from around 13,000 the previous year. So numbers going up in that section as well.
Yeah, so we had a surge in international protection. So look, I mean, it's fair to say in terms of citizenship or family reunification, they are issues, they are parts of the whole migration flow that I think that we have to tighten up on. Family reunification, we have to set the bar higher because, you know, if people are seeking to bring in a number of family members under family reunification, they have to be able to prove to the satisfaction of the Department of Justice and to the government that they, A, have proper accommodation, that they have sufficient and proper accommodation to accommodate and to house the people that they're seeking to bring in, but also that they have the income. It's very, very important that we ensure that people who are coming in don't become a burden on the state. Our health services, I've already spoken about our housing situation, but our health services are also under huge pressure because we have a growing population, as you pointed out. Our population at the moment is growing by 1.6% per annum, which is seven times the EU average. So that'll give you a flavour in terms of the flow of people that is coming into Ireland. So we have to look at, obviously, the international protection space, where we're doing a lot of work in terms of tightening it up, shortening the application process, and also deporting people who ultimately don't qualify for international protection. And one of the most significant steps that we've made in that journey is we've hugely increased what are called the list of safe countries. So a safe country is a country that we deem that if you come from, you most likely won't qualify for international protection.
Yeah.
Because
most likely, you know, sent back.
The view is the country doesn't, you know, hasn't got a democratic deficit, you know, doesn't have a war, doesn't have a dictatorship or a persecution ethos or culture. You know, so a lot of people are coming from countries that we deem to be safe countries, and they are being refused international protection and are being turned around a lot quicker. And I think it's important that we do that, and that we communicate that clearly also right across the globe, that Ireland, you know, that we have significantly, particularly since Jim O'Callaghan, myself and Colin Brophy came to the Department of Justice, we've tightened up a lot of the areas that needed to be tightened up to basically give out a fairly straightforward message. You can come to Ireland and claim international protection. You will be assessed fairly, but if it's deemed that you don't qualify for international protection, you will be asked to leave, and if you don't leave, you will be deported.
You'll be sent back. Okay, how do you respond to the criticism then that from some quarters that you're lurching to the right, that you're kowtowing to minority anti-immigrant far-right tendencies in this country? The CEO of the Irish Refugee Council, Nick Henderson, described the changes as political posturing and deeply alarming. You're cutting two key pillars of refugee integration, a clear route to citizenship, number one, and the ability to reunite with family. The government's asking refugees to integrate, but is removing their ability to do so.
No, I don't agree with it. I just simply don't agree with it. I've outlined to you the types of pressures that the country is under in terms of inward migration. And migration in the main has been very, very positive to this country, but we need to manage it because of the rate at which our population is growing. So I don't agree with some of the NGOs in terms of the criticisms and the commentaries that they're making of our decisions and of the decisions of government. In relation to citizenship, if you come in, if you came in as a person seeking international protection and you were granted international protection, you were entitled to apply for citizenship after 3 years. But if you came in here on a work permit and decided to make your life here, you had to wait 5 years. So we're streamlining it and levelling the playing pitch in relation to that. The whole issue in relation to family reunification, as I previously said to you, that needs to be tightened up, because we have had, a little bit of a drift, in my view, in relation to family reunification, where people are asking to bring in large numbers of extended families where they don't have the income and the accommodation space
to support themselves,
to ultimately support them. And that falls to the state to step in there. And that is a burden on the state. And that's not
fair.
You want
to avoid that. Let me ask this question finally. How do you avoid the criticism, though, that you're looking to blame migration or blame population increase for failures in the government? We're learning today your government is set to introduce emergency legislation to fast-track key projects through the planning process, under a plan from Minister Jack Chambers. He's going to outline that to Cabinet, the Accelerating Infrastructure Action Plan, to try and deliver things that should have been delivered long before now. And this is what gets blamed. Oh, it's population increase. It's the migrants' fault that we don't have housing.
No, that's to do? Well, again, whoever is levelling that blame, it's total nonsense. We have an issue in relation to the delivery of large-scale infrastructure projects in this country, which is hugely challenging. And we've seen it manifest itself recently in endless and countless legal challenges and judicial reviews in relation to practically every single type of a planning decision which has been made. So every planning decision for major projects that's been made is now being challenged in the courts. Any policy change that government makes is also being challenged in the courts. Like we had a recent policy change in relation to the regulation for apartments and apartment building, particularly in Dublin, where there is a demand for, in particular, one-bed apartments, where young professionals, singles people who want to rent accommodation, there is a demand for that type of accommodation. But yet, we have people associated with the Labour Party who are judicially reviewing those new regulations in the High Court. Similarly, we have lots of judicial reviews in relation to planning permissions for large scale and small scale and infrastructure residential developments, but also large scale infrastructural developments. We saw the issue in relation to the new metro in Dublin, where that was being judicially reviewed.
So that's
exactly what we're doing. We're just going to circumvent all of that, because in my opinion, and I've been saying this in government for a long time, we brought in plenty of emergency legislation when we had the financial crisis almost 15 years ago. We brought in plenty of emergency legislation during the COVID period. So I think it's right and proper that we bring in emergency legislation now, particularly in relation to planning, to drive on the projects which Ireland needs.
Okay, Minister Niall Collins, good luck with the rest of today and those ceremonies in Killarney. Thanks very much for taking time to talk to us in the programme this morning. That's Fianna Fáil TD and Minister for State Department of Justice, talking about the population increase, talking about those changes to migration and immigration rules as it comes to citizenship, international protection and other issues. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch. We've more on the way.